This is RSBNB Update, episode 319, recorded Thursday, July 28th, 2011. Returning with stories. Hello, everybody. We're back. Yeah, that was a quick countdown, wasn't it?
No, used to this.
This is an actual show this week. We're not pre-recording, so it's been 2 weeks since I actually recorded a show, so I might be a bit out of practice, everybody. So I'm back.
I mean, 2 weeks. 2 weeks for you, it's slightly longer for me.
Well, you have reason.
Like
Lydia. Well, you went to France, and then we had trouble meshing the schedule the week before I left. That was the week we were going to do it, but we figured we'd wait until this week, because this week is the clan update. So.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did.
So that
did that well.
Yeah, so we got lots to talk about. You can give everyone a brief rundown about what you've been doing later, how that country in Europe was that starts with F and ends with ants.
When you put it that way, yeah. Okay.
And other things. And I did something very interesting last week, which I will share with you guys all later. So you'll have to stay
tuned
for that.
I've done interesting things, too. France is not the only thing. France pales in comparison, really.
Yeah.
My whole life is just, you know.
You almost went fully interesting, but you didn't. You didn't, because you said on the show you were last on, you were going to dye your hair, but you didn't.
Oh, that's another thing I did. Well.
We'll get there. We'll get there. All in good time.
Did I was going to dye my hair?
Yeah, you did. You said you were going to make it blonde.
Oh, bleach blonde, yes. Well, didn't eventuate. There you go, spoiler.
Okay, so.
RuneScape!
Yes.
It's been a long time since I've touched RuneScape.
Yeah, it has been. You know, I didn't even think of RuneScape until yesterday, actually. So that's the mode I've been in. So
good work.
We're gonna try and do the best we can here, because it's essentially me getting back into the saddle and doing everything the way I used to do things. So, anyways, the clan citadels, which we talked about way back in June, are finally here. Basically, one can think of this as player-owned houses for clans.
Okay, so when you say way back in June, I don't remember this at all, but...
Oh, really?
Player-owned houses for clans. So tell me what the point of...
Well, basically, you know, we had the organized clans back in April. You join a clan, you get all the features associated with it. What the citadels do is they give you a meeting place where you can go congregate with that clan. That's your own place for you to customize in the same way you customize your player-owned house. So... this is implemented in the way that player-owned houses would have been implemented if they had not intended construction to be a money sink skill. And to be honest, it's more fun the way they did clan citadels than the way they did construction, because you don't need to invest huge amounts of money into it. So
that's
good that you can't just throw money at it. You actually got to work at this. Because, you know, you could do the same thing with player-owned houses, you know. Like, you could gradually build up your house and work from a one-room house all the way up to whatever 7x7 they allow, right? But it's just money. But this you actually have to work up, which is good. So
when you say work up, what does that require? What do you do?
Well, you need clan members, of course. There are 7 tiers of clan citadels. The highest tier, 7. Tier 7 requires 50 clan members. Then it goes down accordingly by 5. And you need a minimum of 5 to start. So it's just a matter of getting the people in there, and then everybody will gather resources at the various plots in there. And then those resources you gather go to improving your citadel and island in the sky.
Oh, interesting. So the clan members do the work, just...
Yeah, exactly. So if they want a good citadel, they have to have the idea to just work as a team and get there. I mean, it's not just a one-person job, which is great. So, That's what we're doing. We're currently working up to level 2. That's our first update the Citadel to level 2. And then once we update our Citadel to level 2, we can then update our tree for woodcutting, which is our only way of gathering resources right now. And when you update the tree to level 2, you get, of course, more rewards from it. And you can also add other things in, like a mining rock as well at level 2. So it just goes based on how many resources you gather and what you choose to spend them on. So
I like that.
It really is a good thing. Yeah. We already have we have
a slight upper hand. Oh, okay.
So we're and that's only 2 days. So we're in good position, considering everybody's been chipping in and whatnot. But I'm straying off topic here.
Wood chipping.
Yeah, you know, it is actually chipping because you don't chop the tree down; you actually just chop the roots. So, but
good.
In order to make a citadel, you need 5 members of your clan, and to do that, you just go to the clan camp area south of there, and each of you stands on a stone. Jagex had a really, really stupid design decision when they first released this. do you want to take a gander as to what that might be?
Is it something interface related, or?
You could say that.
I'm gonna pass. Hold on, hint. Come on.
It basically, when it was first released, only one clan could be creating a citadel at a time, so everybody had to take turns.
So, sort of one per, because
There's 5 stones.
That's kind of what and I was, you know, it was like, what? They wouldn't do anything that ridiculous. It has to be.
I know, and it took a while for it to get fixed, but it finally did get fixed. So
how have they got around that? Surely that's a pretty obvious flaw to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, this update seems like it was a bit rushed, actually, because right now it's not available on the French servers, as I wrote in.
Oh, that's right. I remember
French
reading
there.
That. Yes, non disponible en français. Oui.
Yeah, so you have to be on an English server to do that. So if you don't speak English or read English, you're kind of out of luck if you are looking to create one of these at the moment. So that's unfortunate. But that was one of the things we were trying. We were trying to create it on the French world because, you know, the French world is quieter and there was nobody there doing it. But then I read this thing in French. Oh, something about version en français unavailable.
That's very interesting. From a programming design sort of perspective, the fact that they can even do that is quite marvelous.
Well, yeah, you know, it is, because every clan citadel has its own world. Like, there's a it's just like instancing, say, like a farming patch, for instance.
Well, yeah, There's a lot of just behind the language differentiation. Well, the fact that they can, you know, actually make something unavailable in French completely in another language.
Yeah, and you know, there's no reason why. It's just a matter of presenting in terms of words, so I don't get why they didn't just do the translation into French, you know?
Yeah.
And the other ones. Yeah. They should have.
It doesn't seem terribly difficult.
Yeah, but you know, speaking of programming, people will remember that last month they did a field test with instancing the fight pits, the Tazar fight pits. So you could go to an instance world just to play there. And, you know, this does use that same technology. Because if you join the RSBNB Citadel, you go to a specific world. You join someone else's, you go to a different world. So basically, there's a whole bunch of clan citadels instanced on each server. And basically what happens is when you click in game, it just sends you to that world, which, you know, for Jagex, an instancing system like this, it's a very nice technological change, seeing that this can be done in Java, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know, that's something that really stood out for me, but probably not for most people. They're probably
we may be losing our listener base right now. So what else is there? I'm moving down the list, maybe.
Yeah, so after you create it, basically you get a woodcutting tree as we have right now, and then you gather resources from that, and then you choose where you want to spend your upgrades and whatnot, which is what we've already queued up for next week. Build cycles go every 7 days, so that's when the next upgrade happens. And let's say you want to upgrade every Sunday, you can change it so you will upgrade every Sunday rather than every Wednesday. So you do get controls into that as well.
Cool.
And then in the Citadel, I've listed areas such as the battlefield, skill plots, and the keep. Now, I'm going to talk about the keep first because it's the simplest in terms of areas. Basically, what the keep gives you is it's just like a general meeting place. There's a few tents outside, a public and a private one, then inside what they call the Senate Chamber, which has a podium in it and lots of benches, so you can sit your entire clan in there and they can watch a speech and hopefully they'll be quiet for you. And also, as you upgrade from Tier 3 onwards, you get a party room in your keep. Like a party room, you know, like in the Falador one. So you can host rock parties
really
there.
Not really much point in those anymore, but...
Well, you know, yeah. You know.
I guess
it's
a
nice
private
way to,
party room is kind of
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, private, and you don't have to worry
and
about it.
It would be, you know, completely fair and everything.
Yeah,
drop
so...
Drop parties, you know.
So that's
really
good. That's another reason to upgrade. And, you know, Tier 3 is not that far away, so... most clans, I imagine, if they're active, will be able to reach that, so good for that. I should also mention before we move on that Tier 2 gets you mining skill plot, 3 gives you fire making, smithing, and mining, and a mining upgrade. Tier 4 gives you another mining upgrade, Tier 5 gives you crafting and summoning, and Tier 6 gives you cooking for the skill plots that I mentioned earlier.
Nice.
And, we already kind of discussed the skill plots, and then that's how you gather your resources and everything, but each person has the ability to gather up to 1,000 of a certain resource at level 1, and then that increases as you upgrade your things, like your storeroom and whatnot. So as you upgrade that, you will be able to gather more resources per week, and then those go towards the clan, so... And then the clan owners get to determine how it's spent. So, and you do get rewarded for doing this. You get experience in the clan citadel. You're not going to get as much experience as you would, let's say, chopping ivy. So it's a nice way to get XP, but it's not a good way to power train, which is something they made clear beforehand.
That's kind of good. I mean, that's balanced it out because
yeah, it is.
You are just helping your clan. If you're going to be doing this, you're going to be doing it for a reason. And
yes,
obviously they couldn't just make it the same as yeah.
And also,
well thought out.
Yeah, there's another reason why you want to help your clan. At around 10% or so of your total resources gathered for the week, you get what's called a clan ring. And this ring you can take out to the real world, and it will give you 1.5 times XP in that skill, so you can get 1.5 times XP woodcutting, mining, cooking, summoning, whatever. As long as it's a skill that can be trained in the clan citadel, you can take that out.
Oh, okay. But how long does that last for?
I'm not sure on how long it lasts, but it's a decent amount of experience.
Oh, good.
So... We're quite happy with that. So that's the skill plots. There's also the battlefield. This is the most amazing part of it. This gives everybody an arena bigger than Clan Wars that can be fully customizable. You can customize every single square on this arena. And you know, when you're walking in RuneScape, a person occupies
a square.
That's quite generous. You can customize every single square in there. Quite literally. So, like, you can even have spikes that do 100% damage if somebody were to step on them. You can have ice, so if you walk on it, you slip, just like in the winter events we had. You can add monsters. You can add spawns of skill-boosting items. You can add weapon spawns or tools. So, the sky's the limit with this.
That's very good. That's incredibly generous. I mean, how does
Jagex
even sort of... managed to afford that kind of space.
Yeah, well, you know, this goes back to the whole thing about being on servers. Each of these clan citadels, I'm not sure how many they would share per server, but they added new servers. I mean, I saw worlds going up to world 240, just to give you an idea of how many clan Citadel servers they have.
Wow.
Someone on my friends list is on world 240, so that's an idea of how many they have and how much capacity they have for this. So
it's a few more than before.
Yep, and they're not visible, but, you know, it just shows that, you know, the game is expandable and the current infrastructure can be used for quite a bit of stuff, so...
Pretty incredible. I mean, it's when they release things like this that you realize how modern their architecture actually is.
Yeah, and, I mean, even the graphics when you're up in the Clan Citadel, they have skyboxes now and clouds.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, so we're not in the days of RuneScape 2 anymore. Like this, I think with a bit more lighting treatment. This would be the next iteration of what graphics on RuneScape could look like throughout the rest of the world.
Yep.
And one more thing. You do have the option on this to change your Citadel or Battlefield to night mode so you can have a dark sky or a light sky.
Interesting. Sort of makes you wonder if they give you that option. How expandable it is, to the rest of the RuneScape world. Because, you know, if they've got skyboxes somewhere, then you would think that they could put them elsewhere. But then,
the engine can handle it. It's just a matter of a developer wanting to, you know.
Yeah, but then if they give you the option to actually define whether it is night or day, then. It's kind of not really, you know what I mean? They can't just.
It kind of takes the point away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, with this, I don't think we're going to be seeing night and day in actual RuneScape. That wouldn't make sense for what needs to happen and how they've been lighting up the new worlds and whatnot. I mean,
yeah.
If they'd
put skyboxes, for example, somewhere. As they have done here, then they would put them everywhere.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, even like, right now, you know, we fog areas in that come in. You could change that to a sky and the horizon. That would be fine.
Yeah. So, oh, well. Definitely. That's a small inconsistency considering the rest of the update, I quite like. But it sounds
Yeah, good. And, you know, I was... before this came out, I was holding back from making any speculations about it because I didn't want to give myself any wrong ideas about what it was going to be or give anybody else any wrong ideas. And, you know, I'm kind of glad I did that because I might have expected more, but I'm definitely happy with how this update turned out. So it's definitely an update of 2011 that I can applaud.
Good. So,
did you see
moving on then.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you
sorry.
See the homepage? How they got little.
I kind of haven't looked at the homepage
floating.
In a while. Shall I do that?
Yeah, have a look
if it
at
works,
it. Tell me
because
what you
was
think of it.
Dying before. I'm surprised that the Skype call is even working at all. To be honest.
Oh, that's pretty good. I think
loading the page. Oh, I got a title. Yes, it's loading. Okay. It's blue. It's very blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. What is this? Flash. It is Flash.
No. Oh, yes, it is. Well, that would explain why my CPU fan is going crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, forget that. That's not nice then.
It's pretty gross actually. But
I don't like Flash.
Yeah, my CPU is actually just maxing out like looking at it. If I scroll down, it's fine. Or maxing out one or two cores.
Okay.
Was that you?
What?
That noise.
Yeah, it was. That was actually Trekkie. Blame Trekkie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Trekkie's always the one interrupting things.
So that's Clan Citadels. I don't think there's really much else to say about it. This is, you know... As we like to say on this show, we don't tell you what to think about an update. That's up for you to decide. We just tell you what happens. So, but we are quite happy with the way Citadel's turned out.
Yeah. I do like the fact that for a change, their background is almost 2,000 pixels wide. Thank God.
You still maximize your windows?
I only did it right now, actually, to actually see if it did, you know, fill the screen. And it did. I was pleasantly surprised.
I see. One more thing before we move on. Clans that have maxed out their citadel will receive a clan dragon. Like a dragon that inside your citadel. Yeah.
That's cool. I think.
Yes. So moving on from that one, they've tweaked the way clan capes work. When clan capes first came out, people were creating a clan and just then ejecting everybody and then making capes that looked like, oh, I don't know, the fake farming cape or the fake herblore cape.
Oh.
They've put a stop to that. So now you actually have to have greater than or equal to 5 people in your clan to actually have a clan cape. So it has to be a real clan to have a clan cape now, which is good, I think.
Yeah.
And they've replaced it with something called the Herald Cape. Basically, you show your pride for a certain city, whether it be Felidor, Lumbridge, or Varrock. And then your cape will change based on how many tasks you've done in the area. So that's their option instead of clan capes like that. And they say that they hope you enjoy those capes as much as you enjoyed your previous clan capes.
Sounds good.
Yep. Patch notes. There's one funny thing I wanted to highlight here. You will no longer be spawned in Lumbridge if you get a random event in the Jadinka lair.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we get these little bugs happening every so often, and let's just say that would be a bad thing if you got a drop, and oops, you're in Lumbridge instead of back where you're supposed to be. So that's been fixed.
Just a minor thing.
They did increase the damage on the special attack from the whipvine, because it no longer works if you switch weapons, so if you use the special attack and then switch to something else, it will no longer work. So they did increase that.
Have I missed something here?
This was 317. The Jadinko lair and the upgrade to the Abyssal Whip.
Oh, yes, upgrade to the Abyssal Whip. I completely missed that. I'll ask you about that later. Don't worry, I don't need to bore the listeners.
Yeah, so that's been fixed. And, you know, we looked at this whipvine when it first came out, and we made some predictions about the price, and I think that's a fairly good prediction, because it's still going down. It started at 25 million GP, and it's currently at 11.8 million GP 2 weeks after it was released. So you can do the math and find the rate of decrease there, and it is quite dramatic when you look at the
deteriorating
picture.
Deterioration.
So, yep.
Oh, good.
I don't think there's anything else I wanted to mention in the patch notes. As always, you can find little funny things in there that are always good laughs, you know, like when somebody became a man, or when Ned had a man in his house rather than his wife. Anyways,
pretty typical.
The weekly
really.
Competition, or not weekly anymore, I guess. But they got a screenshot competition. They want screenshots of the clan citadels that you're using. They want you to highlight the backgrounds, the exterior, and the interior of the keep, the entrance portal, and resource gathering. As the competition winner, your entry will also feature on the RuneScape website, as well as in official screenshot of the biggest update of the year so far. So basically, if you got a good clan citadel, you can do this and win some concept art. A1 sized. Remind me again how big A1 paper is in like centimeters?
Oh gosh, I don't know centimeters. Let's see. 3, 8, 2, 1. It's probably like a meter wide.
Wow.
I don't actually know. That's a complete guess.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see. A1 is 59.4 centimeters by 84.1 centimeters.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're about right, enough. a meter or so. That is huge.
It's not that big. Well, I suppose it is quite large, really.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, that would cover the entire area right here behind where I'm recording right now.
Yeah, well, my printing place that I work at has a wide format A0 printer, so double that. But
okay.
It's quite expensive to print that large.
Yeah, I imagine.
Unless it's
that.
In bulk, so. In which case it's heaps cheaper. Anyway, okay.
I don't know what you could do for a screenshot competition. I mean, like, it's just in-game. Like, there's not any way you can alter the lighting or anything to make it look more different.
Yeah,
so I don't know how things are going to stand out from this.
I was just thinking it would suck to be, you know, one of the judges or something, having to deal with all the crappy entries, people who can't save their screenshots in proper formats and things. Wouldn't that just, you know, eat you up inside? Like, oh.
Well, you know, the thing is, that's just like crappy audio and crappy video. It doesn't annoy people.
True, it does go for everything.
Like you know, it annoys us. Like, I know crappy video and audio annoys me. And crappy image saving does as well. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of perception for us. Because, you know, we've been dealing with this stuff for years now. So anyway, send that in and win some concept art and donate it to RSBNB if you're feeling ever so kind. Well, you don't have to, but we'd like some concept art too at some point.
Yep. That reminds me, I have to show you my website that I'm making at the moment for my class.
Ooh.
It's disgusting.
Okay. I'll make a note of that for after then.
However, anime... Oh no, I missed one.
What did you miss? Yeah, Cryptic Clue Fest 3. I'm really not going to say much about this because, you know, it's most people like to go and hunt the clues on their own, but you probably got
damn.
Until next week or so.
Is that
to
another
do
one
this.
That I have to do?
My guess would be no, because the rewards for this year's, you do also get the reward from 2010 and 2009 as well.
Oh, true.
So chances are next year you'll be able to get the 2011 and 2012 rewards. So,
I wouldn't break.
I mean, it's not like something you need to do. It's the rewards aren't even that great. It's just a costume with zero stats, and it doesn't even. It's not even something I don't think you'd wear. You know, it's not the kind of thing Chief Snake would wear. So,
no, exactly.
Just a reminder to everybody out there.
About my garments.
Yes, you are, aren't you?
What is that supposed to be? Okay. Next?
Well, that would mean whether you're talking in real life or RuneScape, I guess. I'm sorry,
okay.
I just had to throw that in.
I don't know if that's...
Because, you know, a person can only look so good in RuneScape with the clothes available, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's why I'm quite particular.
So, yes. And, anyways, more changes on the back end here with the engine relating to the way they do animations and everything. They say, there are tens of thousands of animations in-game, and possible there would be some glitches. So if you spot anything wrong, please just do report it as a bug. And, you know... this is to be expected because, you know, they can't test every combination of every item, you know, because you might have some weird, absurd combination, and I don't even want to start doing the numbers, but it would be a very large amount of combinations if you were to do a combination of every wearable item in-game. So If you see something wrong, just report it. It's not your eyes, and Jagex will thank you. It's always it always feels good to report bugs, doesn't it?
I suppose so. I've never really reported any bugs in the last few years.
Have you ever reported bugs for Firefox or anything?
What?
Firefox or other software?
Oh, not really. So, some smaller sort of softwares, occasionally. Like Zscreen. I used to report bugs for that.
I don't want to think about that right now.
No, I completely disassociate with it, but yeah.
Anyways,
that was back.
As a result of last week's bot episode, I would like to forward along a link to a YouTube channel by, I believe, he's a player mod named Roggy. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He has a huge selection of ways to kill bots on his YouTube channel, and they're all organized into a nice little playlist, and the most recent one is how to kill fruit bat bots. Basically, it goes into how you can use papayas and draw them into an area with hostile monsters and have the monsters kill them, and you walk away with their scrolls and pouches. So, always good to be helping the bot problem.
Wouldn't it take quite a while to actually drag them from somewhere that was fine to somewhere unpleasant?
Yeah, that's the thing. The example, where the bot got dragged from in this case, but they were killed by ogres west of
Yanelda. I was just thinking that, actually, because, people used to do that all the time outside of the Castle Wars bank.
Yeah, so that's probably where it was dragged from, and as you know, ways to go, but you know, it's just a matter of, it's just like leaving a trail, you know, and they'll follow the trail of breadcrumbs, and they'll get to the area, and then boom, they're dead.
Yeah. That'd be quite easy, really. I mean, papayas.
Yeah, it would be.
If they pick up papayas, then, yeah, it would literally be a breadcrumb.
Drop the papayas, and there you go. That's actually what he does in the video here, so.
How fun.
There are other videos as well, so if you're at all interested in having some fun with this, take a look at this channel and see how you can prevent bots from doing that. And just remember to also report them when you do that, because if you kill them, that stops them now, but they'll come back after, so report them.
Yep. Okay.
And that's it for RuneScape updates of July.
Hooray! Another month down.
Yep. Year's half over now.
Scary. Very scary. Well, it's more than half over. But
yeah. I mean, in 4 months, I'm gonna have snow.
4 months? That's not very far away, is it?
Nope, but I'm eagerly awaiting it, because we got far too many mosquitoes this year. Yes, I'm very excited.
You remember what happened last year. You ended up hating it.
Well, yeah, that's because it's so gray for from like October through to like April. But,
and you always tell me that you love the snow and you couldn't stand to have a...
I know, that would be the one reason...
Yeah, summer Christmas.
Why I wouldn't be able to move where you are.
If you say so.
Because of lack of snow. But you guys got snow down there last week, didn't you?
We did! We did, actually. It was very cold here. It was fine up here where I am right now in Hamilton. It didn't snow here, but regretfully, I missed the first time it has snowed in my hometown since I have been born, I think.
Oh, you're such a deprived child.
It only snowed in certain parts. Pretty rare.
You don't know what it's like to be walking down the sidewalk and slip and hurt your tailbone.
No. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know why, what you see in that particularly. But
I've just done it once or twice, that's all. But
okay.
Moving on to questions now. This week was an audio questions only this week, but we got three of them, and they are fairly involved, as always, with audio questions, so we thank you for sending those questions in. We enjoy audio questions.
And when we say they, we basically mean the last one, but we'll hold out for that.
Well, Earth's is good too. Eric's is good as well.
Oh, yes. They're all very good questions in their own rights, but
yeah,
you'll see. You'll see what we mean.
Yep. Number one from Earth.
Hello to the smooth, delectable Chief Snake and the heterosexual, absolutely not flaming Shane. What do you think of the media covering the death of the celebrity Amy Winehouse, who I've never even heard of, more than the shootings in Norway? I would think that the shooting in Norway would be viewed as more important, not the death of some drug addict. As always, much love, Earth.
Well, I am slightly surprised that you haven't heard of Amy Winehouse. She's
neither have I. I never heard of her either.
What? Well, to be fair, I hate her. I mean, I don't know how anyone couldn't hate her. Her singing is pretty terrible, and she's a drug addict.
Was? You know,
how does this person become famous? Oh, well.
Past tense.
Was, yes. Well, sorry about that. To correct myself sometimes. Thank you, Shane. I don't know.
Is this going to be
really
Justin Bieber in 10 years?
Pardon? My internet.
Is this going to be Justin Bieber in 10 years?
Who? Sorry. I mean, Justin Bieber is a drug addict. I doubt it. Could be, actually. One of those failed stars who goes on to become a drug addict. That's funny to think about Justin Bieber as a drug addict. I bet if you search Google Justin Bieber drug addict, someone will...
Yeah, you'll get your fair share of garbage. Yeah.
I haven't actually heard much about Amy Winehouse apart from the fact that she died. But that's
really
because I'm cut off from the media.
Oh, okay.
I don't watch TV anymore, and I don't listen to the radio. How about you, actually? Because you're the one who...
Well, you know, that's funny, because I was away when it happened, right? And
yes.
When I'm away, I don't really pay attention to the news and much, and it just feels like you're, as you said, disconnected. And that is a nice feeling for a while, and then, you know, I miss all my, real news and stuff
yeah,
as well, you know, like Jack Clayton has new cancer now and stuff, and
yes,
but yeah, you know, it was the main was the top story the day after I got back on the regular news here, and that is a valid point, and you know that, you know, news in this day and age really doesn't cover the actual news. Which I don't agree with, because, you know, news is news. If people want to hear about entertainment news or whatever, they can go to whatever the many entertainment sites out there, or watch TMZ or whatever the heck it is about that kind of stuff. So, and you know, that's one thing I don't like about the news channels we have, like our main TV channels here. They put too much emphasis on this light-hearted, feel-good kind of news, you know? So, and, you know,
yeah,
that's one of the reasons I've actually, whenever I can, here, since April, we have a news channel called Sun News. Basically, they don't have any of that. It's actually real news on that channel, so I actually prefer them for news now. And despite what people say, it is not Fox News North. I just want to make that clear.
I think that actually over here, based on what I've heard, I have heard a lot more about Norway. More people seem to be concerned about that, which is good, as they should be. I don't really know anyone who likes Amy Winehouse apart from... Well, one of my friends. Which is good.
And you know, here, Norway has kind of already disappeared.
That's pretty sad. I did actually see something on, well, not on TV, but something that was on TV. I watched a video, and it was about a New Zealand person who was in Norway at the time and nearby the killing explosion, whatever it was. Sorry, I don't really know much about it at all. And
it was like just a shooting rampage or something, I think.
I thought it was more than that. I thought it was...
Oh, right, it was a shooting rampage and then a bomb or something.
Yeah, yeah, it was something like that. But anyway, this guy was... it was just an interview with this guy and how his experience there. So that, I think, brought it back closer to home. Not for me, you know, I have nothing to do with it, but I think the media at least caught on to that and, yeah, made a thing out of it. So.
And, you know, it's a global world now, too, so, you know, that what's news in Norway is news in Edmonton and news in Hamilton, New Zealand as well, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the same with little Christchurch and its earthquakes and stuff. That's gone everywhere around the world. You know, in France, I would get, you know, you mention that you're from New Zealand and they people just go, oh, are you from Christchurch? Or, you know, you've been having a terrible time lately, etc., etc. It's like, well, I'm actually nowhere near there, but...
Yeah, you know, that's the same thing that happens here. They say, I forget what it was. Oh, such and such is happening in Canada. Then you talk to someone, so how is what going on here? And, you know, that's on the other side of the country. Mm. Big country.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, that's the thing. In these international news reporting things, it doesn't always get disambiguated the way it should. I mean, by the time it gets to somebody in France, it will just be New Zealand earthquake rather than earthquake in Christchurch, right?
Mm, mm.
I mean, most people couldn't even probably find Christchurch on a map if they just had to point to it, right, you know?
To be fair, New Zealand is pretty tiny compared to other countries. I don't blame them that much. But I am at the opposite end of the country, so...
But still, you know, it's a known country because it's a former British Commonwealth, or it is a British Commonwealth, so... It's not like Angola or something, or Qatar.
We could have visited Angola. Oh, no, not Angola, Andorra, I'm thinking of, I think.
Oh, okay.
One of the smallest countries.
Yeah, I'd stay out of Africa if I was you.
Not Angola, God, no, different thing. Get them mixed up. I've done that before, I'm sure.
Yeah, anyway. It's always hard to mix up Nigeria and Niger. They're two countries right next to each other. They sound the same, and their name for their people, Nigerian and Nigerian, they're just too similar. You know, you can't tell them apart sometimes if you don't know what you're looking for. But I don't know how we got into what people are called, but...
No, that's slightly on tangent.
Let's just sum this up. News... Too much coverage on these kind of things and not enough on real news, yes or no?
Yep. Yeah, I think we have way too much sport in New Zealand. You know, same thing. You know, half of our news is about sport, and it's kind of like...
Okay.
Oh, why does anyone care?
Our sports gets about a 10-minute segment in the hour-long evening news.
See, that's what it should be, or... Maximum 10 minutes.
Local news gets the first 10 minutes, and it goes into less important local and provincial, and then 5 minutes for national news, and then on to international. So.
Oh, okay.
And then just whatever else.
In importance, I think.
Which is how it should be, really. So.
Anyway, thank you, Earth.
Yes, for submitting the same question for once.
Yes.
Where I don't get called the flaming homosexual.
That's always a plus, yes.
Alrighty, next one is from Rice.
Shane and Chief, Rice here. How often do you guys watch YouTube videos about RuneScape? And when you do, what do you generally watch? PKing videos? Skilling videos? Quest help? Maybe even money making? And do you follow people like SparkMac and NightmareRH? Thanks, guys.
Shane?
To be honest, I don't watch RuneScape videos. Today, the bot killing RuneScape video was the first RuneScape video I watched in a long time.
Define long time.
A few months.
Oh, okay. Good. Pretty respectable. Nice.
Like, if somebody, if a community member makes a video and posts it on RuneWire, I'll watch that and stuff, but I don't go out of my way to follow people who make videos and whatnot, so. I really don't watch that many of them.
I would have been exactly the same. You know, if someone made something or posted something to RuneWire, I might watch it. But, I would never follow any particular people on YouTube, for example.
Yeah,
and nowadays, of course, I just don't watch nothing.
One of the things I would always look up if there is something interesting going around would be graphical glitches. You know, those were always fun to see.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Okay.
You remember that one where you turned into a big chicken? Like, where you could stay in the turkey emote or whatever?
Turkey? Yeah.
So.
Oh, yes. I was never that into... I mean, I never really just searched anything for the sake of it. I've always been the kind of person who just waited for media to reach me.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
If you're in the know, it will just come to you. If you're in friends with the right people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
Like, that's the same thing I do for regular YouTube videos as well. Like, do you go hunting for any kind of YouTube videos or anything?
No, nothing. No.
You know, I can't even remember what the last YouTube video I was linked at was. I don't know. But. Oh, I know. Space Shuttle, video of all the space shuttle launches, like a mashup put together that I put on Google Plus out there. So I feel like, you know, sometimes on Google Plus it feels like you're talking to a echo chamber.
I don't know. I don't talk in Google Plus, but I can imagine how that would feel. Yes.
Anyways, so yeah, I'm sorry, but we don't Save really watch Facebook. Any videos of this. Huh? What about Facebook?
Nothing.
Yeah, I don't want to advocate Facebook any more than I have to. You know, one thing I'm thinking why Eric asked this question was he posted a video somewhere on RuneWire and he... Oh, yes, that's it. He posted a video about Grand Exchange flipping, 25 million made in one day. I figure we ought to mention
money.
That.
25
Yeah, there
million.
We go. Here
Is
we go.
This
Free 25
his video
million
or...
a day. Yeah, it's something he made.
Oh, cool. How much does he have to invest in order to make that? Just out
I'm
of
not
interest.
Particularly. Sure on that, but you would probably need more than the initial 25 million GP on that. Because that's typically the way it works, so. Anyways, you guys can check out the video as a courtesy there. I just put your video link in the notes.
That was handy of you.
Okay. Yep. Alrighty, so thank you for that question. Moving on to the last one now.
Thank you, Eric.
Which is something we enjoyed in the pre-show, didn't we?
Yeah, I'm going to have to brace myself again for this one. I might just mute myself, actually. Could get messy.
Oh, don't do that.
Da,
da, I won't.
Da, 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 da. Da, da, da,
this
da.
Is RSBNB da, Update da, Questions for the month of July, 2011. Da, da, Episode 1, Whips and
Wands.
Hello, this is R-Man-100.
And alongside him today is Sorensen57.
First off, sorry if our questions are below par this week, but we spent far too much time in that opener.
And a special thanks to the liquid courage that encouraged us to do this.
That was a bit of a mouthful, my friend.
I'm pretty sure Shane can take a bit of a mouthful.
Indeed, indeed.
My first question today, for those of you that have seen the latest Harry Potter film, do you think it lived up to the reputation to complete the series of the last seven? And do you think the climactic fight between Voldemort and Harry was a bit too rushed? Over to you, R.R. Man.
Thanks, Sorensen. First off, Shane, just want to say my name's not Railroad Man 100. It is Real Robots Man 100. Just a little nitpick there I have for you. Since you're so... Anyway, I must say, I love the new whip design. I think it's pretty sexy looking. But do you think it will ever be powered up or, you know, the stats increased a little bit?
I think it should be powered up a bit, as 80 Slayer does take longer to get than 80 Dungeoneering.
That's a good point, but let's leave this question to Shane. He is the expert.
Go, Shane.
Anyway, I think that wraps up episode 1 of RSBNB Update Questions.
I've been your helpful host, Sorensen57.
And this is R.R. Man, signing off.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Woo! Now, you know, why we both found this one funny? This, you tell why you found it funny.
There are a lot of reasons why I found this one funny. One or two inappropriate reasons. I think most of the listener base will be able to figure it out for themselves.
Okay. Is that something I'm missing then?
You said something.
I did?
No, sorry. I didn't hear you. But basically, I'm just shocked that that kind of a question came from New Zealand. Wow. I mean,
we don't get that many questions from New Zealand there. So
yeah, and that was two people, two Kiwis, like, coming together as one. That was a beautiful thing, really.
Yeah, that is really great. So
I think we need to start answering these. Otherwise, I'm going to forget what they actually asked. By the time that we...
Yeah, you know, this was in... I really wish this would have been in the actual show, but I slipped right into the right theme of this question in the pre-show. You want to tell them what I did?
Unfortunately, Shane wasn't recording at the time, so we couldn't have just made it a clip from the pre-show and stuck it in, you know, at the end of the year, but we stopped previewing this clip at the beginning. Shane started speaking in a New Zealand accent. He just naturally...
which I didn't even intend to do.
Language accent. Which, yeah.
Well, the word was can't, right? But that we just...
Wow! Kind of... there he goes again.
I thought that was Australian. That was more Australian than New Zealand, I thought.
It's pretty much identical, but... I think it's just it's one of those edges, the New Zealand, the Kiwi edge that you get. I think after you've actually, you know, been in the country, you'll start to sound more Australian and more like a New Zealander.
Or if you spend more time around people like that, right?
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, even though you spend a lot of time around me than you do around Australians, you still sound like an Australian. So kind of
that's depressing.
That theory. Yes, it was a pretty impressive New Zealand / Australian accent. It was one word.
Okay, but, so...
That word means everything.
Yeah, which is... I think I got the second or third time that I repeated it.
I couldn't do like a US-Canadian accent. Can't do it.
Yeah, you don't want to try.
No.
But,
just can't.
Harry Potter movie, that's you. I did not see it.
Oh, yes, I forgot what the rest of the question exactly was, but Harry Potter, how did it compare? I went to see this on the opening night that I went to see the premiere, which is one of the only premieres I've ever actually been to. I don't usually go to premieres, right? And I got dragged along to this one because I hate, you know, all the people and so busy. But I'm actually so glad that I went to it because it was one of the best movies I've seen in quite some time. And it was so much better than the last few Harry Potter.
Better than Inception?
Well, it was a long time ago that I saw Inception. It was probably not that good, but just because of the very fact that it wrapped up this very long series. I cried in parts. I'm going to be totally honest. It was that good because I think the last few movies had been so utterly terrible, you know, to the point where I was not enjoying watching them that bad. But this one totally, literally turned it around, and I'm very glad that they did manage to do that. It was an extremely good movie, and I would recommend it to everyone who has actually watched them so far, which is pretty annoying because the last few ones were so crap, but you just have to see them in order to experience the difference and between them.
I'm waiting till they come out on, till this one's out on Blu-ray, then we'll watch them all, because I've only seen the first two, and that was however many years ago.
Oh, yes. Well, if you've only seen the first two, I'm not sure if it will have the same effect, but...
But I'll watch the other ones in between, so it should, right?
Yeah, well, you can do what we did. We didn't do a complete Harry Potter marathon, but a few nights before, we watched the 5th, 6th, and first part of the 7th one in one night.
Okay.
And by night, I do mean night, early hours in the morning. So, I mean, that's the best way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah, bam. It is. It's just like having a Star Trek movie marathon, you know? All the way from the first one all the way up to the new one, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, Shane, it is just like that.
The whip. Do you think they'll update the Vine Whip and make it any more powerful?
All yours.
Yeah, you know, I'm leaning towards no on this one, except for the little update they did today in relation to the way the special works. Because for two reasons. One, we have to remember that the whip is a weapon that came out way back when, in 2005. So that is, in a way, cemented in as like a staple of RuneScape, and they're not going to be radically tipping it on its head the way it works. And because you can't tip the whip on... or the regular whip on its head the way it works, you can't tip the Vine Whip out on the way it works to make it that much more powerful. Because, you know, it does have the 80-some-odd, I forget what the exact number is, 80 attack requirement, which is higher than the Dungeoneering Chaotic requirement, but it's really not that great for what you get for that requirement. The 80 requirement is far better for a Dungeoneering weapon of some type. So I don't think we're going to see any changes. I think it's the way it's going to be. And, you know, it's not targeting to be a higher level or a weapon for higher level players, because that's the Dungeoneering Chaotic weapons and God Swords as well. Like, right now, the whip is just targeted, I'd say, at probably around the level 80 to level 110 range or so.
Goddamn, I still use a whip.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's a perfect weapon to use. There's no reason why you shouldn't use a whip, but, you know, the higher level people who do have the Dungeoneering level do have the option to go for the longsword or the rapier, which, you know, you would do if you're that committed to doing that much Dungeoneering. I'm not, so I just stick with the whip or scimitar, which is fine by me.
No,
so,
yeah, that's fine. Me too.
Like that, and then that's the reason I don't see it happening, is because we already got these high level weapons like that, and if anything, the next big weapon that'll come along will be better than the Dungeoneering ones. So, you know, I come from an era when the whip originally cost 26 million GP, and the special would either hit a max hit or nothing. So, you know, it's a little bit sad seeing where the whip has gone and what it's become when it used to be such a prestigious weapon and whatnot. So, I would like to see it happen.
That's a good point.
To be made more relevant, but I don't think it will, just given where it sits in the game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's the natural order of things, just other things gradually overtaking it. I'm not surprised either.
Yeah, and you know, like, if we would have seen back in 2005 the Dungeoneering weapons or whatever, or like the add-on to the Vine Whip, that would make it, the whip seem, as we see it now, powerless in terms of the God Sword or the Dungeoneering weapons. So, as you say, it's just the natural order of things. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with using a whip. It's a perfectly good, fast weapon. It hits hard, and, you know, it's cheap, so you might as well just use a whip if you don't have anything else. Mm-hmm. But I think I feel the same way as these two, in that it would be nice to have the whip upgraded a bit, but sadly I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, they've done it, and considering this is what they've done.
Yeah, and that's all we got. Like it's not even that. It only adds +4 to the slash bonus, which really is not that much.
Oh, right. So. That is really
and
not that
a minor
much.
Strength boost. So, and the special's okay, but, you know, it's better than the other one, but really, it's not revolutionary. So, anyways, I hope that's answered your question relating to the whip. So, that's all we got this week for questions. Now, I'm going to say that next week we will be doing text questions once again and audio questions, so you can send us your text questions to the forum topic when that is posted at rsbnb.com/forums. Or if you want to send us an audio question, you got 3 ways to do that. Number 1, email them to questions@rsbnb.com as an attachment. Number 2, phone them in to 571-572-2632. Which is a U.S. number, so if you don't have a long-distance plan, charges will apply. Or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just add the user RSBNB update and press call, and we will get your voicemail that way.
Easy peasy. So many options.
Yep.
You really have no excuse.
Yeah, and, you know, there is an option, or somebody asked me if they could take Twitter questions, and, you know, we could try Twitter questions. The only problem I see with Twitter questions is it's a little too short sometimes. So, like, you could try a Twitter question if you could...
You could try.
You squeeze it into one... Like, if you could squeeze it into 140 characters, do it. Send it to @RSBNBstaff, just as an at mention, and we'll get it, and just make it clear that it's an update question. And I'll put it in. So, yeah, that works. So, Twitter as well. As I know for some people, they're always on Twitter. So if you just send in a quick tweet and there you go. That's probably actually the simplest way to do it. That's the best thing about Twitter. Don't you agree? Like the brevity of it.
I suppose so. Yes. Yes, it is actually. Better than the new interface now. Blech.
What? Oh, well. Which
Nothing.
Interface?
Twitter one.
New Twitter?
Yeah, I'm still not that sold on it. I think it's bloated.
Use Twitter for Mac.
No, but you shouldn't have to use Twitter for Mac. You shouldn't have to have a Mac in order to enjoy the Twitter experience. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, like, the main reason I use it is because I can manage multiple accounts from it.
Yeah, well.
Which is hard to do on the website.
Oh, I just wanted to add, by the way, I like how RRMan and Sorensen57 took advantage of the fact that I told everyone to keep your questions succinct unless they're really awesome.
Well, that's okay, though.
I wasn't actually expecting anyone to send questions in that were that long, and I just realized this now that I had actually mentioned that. Anyway.
But it's a good thing, because, you know, we got a human voice version done of the theme song there.
That was quite impressive. Well done. Thank you for that. I mean, that's probably clip show material, actually.
Yeah, I think it is, and the thing in the pre-show was as well. Even my second and third attempts at it, even though they weren't as good as the first one.
Oh, yeah, that... No. Yeah. Okay. Cool. It's cool.
Yep. So, tech news.
Those questions. Tech news. What have we got?
Windows Phone. Do you know how anybody uses Windows Phone?
No. No one knew.
Well,
pretty sure
Windows
their market
Phone
share
Mango.
Is dropping rapidly.
The Mango Windows Phone version, which is their big new version that's bringing in a whole bunch of wanted features. Twitter,
really?
LinkedIn, Facebook, Windows Live Messenger, web browser, turn-by-turn navigation, and Bing integration.
Wait. They didn't have that before?
No, they did not.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, to be fair, the iPhone didn't have that when it first came out. Like, the iPhone didn't have apps when it first came out. The iPhone didn't have copy and paste when it came out. The iPhone didn't have push notification when it came out. So, to be fair, Microsoft would have done better if this was the
editors
first one.
When it first came
exactly.
out.
Exactly. But, so, if you're a Windows Phone user, you take comfort in knowing that the next version of your operating system, Mango, has been released to manufacturing. Apparently it'll be out this fall for download and on new phones. I don't exactly know anybody who uses a Windows phone, but I'm sure we got the one or two people out there, just like in the past we had the one or two people out there who listened to the show on a Zoom.
Really? Really?
Oh yeah, I got like probably about 3 PMs in all the years we've been doing this about people on Zoom wanting to know how to subscribe to it in the Zoom software.
Oh god. What did you tell them?
I downloaded the software and figured it out, and I told them what to do.
It's sad that we should have to do that sometimes.
But anyways, so Mango, that's Windows Phone.
Good, I guess.
Like, do you think they're going to have any success with this?
No, not really. Just in short, like, no.
Like, BlackBerry is laying off people this past week as well.
Mm, that's not surprising at all.
And, like, I just, like, yeah, the Windows Phone is nice if you're a Windows user and everything, and if you were a Windows user, you'd probably want a Windows Phone, but I don't know anybody who has a Windows Phone.
Who is actually a Windows user and enjoys using Windows? I mean, the ideal...
Microsoft fanboys?
Microsoft fanboys. There aren't really that many Microsoft fanboys. The majority of people want to escape Windows if they can, I think. Just purely... Or normal, you know, casual users want to escape Windows purely because of the perception, the, you know, widespread perception that Windows is crap. Which is fantastic, really. I think that's why, another reason kind of why most people buy Apple products when they can.
Yeah, you
but
know,
they just,
plus,
you know, can't
also
afford the more expensive Apple products, and so they start low for iPods and things.
And
at least that's
thing,
what
you know,
I've sort of
just
observed with younger people.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, at university, everybody is using Apple products.
Yeah, that's the generation. Yeah, that's what they're
doing. That's a thing that is happening now, and you know, Microsoft might be able to make a cool phone operating system like this and attract people, but, you know, once Apple has these people, they're not going to switch because the experience
is just too simple
and too fluid. Like, you know that. I know that.
Well, Apple is the attractive option. They've done an incredible job, and it's so simple to use.
Mm.
They really are just, you know, the thing that everyone wants, and they've done well to put themselves in that position.
Yeah, and like that's why I got the iPhone. It's because I use OS X. I use that, and it just makes sense to have everything nicely integrated. You know,
yeah. I mean, even for me, it's kind of a subconscious thing. I mean, like I was telling you before, and you pointed out to me quite rightly, the iPhone is a very, very attractive device. Even though I already know that, you know, I could get the same thing in an Android phone for cheaper and...
Yeah.
You know...
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's an iPhone. That's the thing that
and
everyone...
It's the integration with the operating system on the computer for me. Like, that's the reason I didn't get an Android device.
Oh, okay, well. I feel
just
that
because
mine
the
is
iPhone
quite integrated
would integrate nicely.
Yeah.
Well, you're a Linux user.
Mm. Yes, Linux. It makes
like,
sense.
Like, can you easily hook your phone up and do all your syncing stuff and whatever on OS X?
Well, I don't sync. That's I think the advantage of
Of
Android.
Right,
really is
you don't
the fact
have to. Yes, you don't have to sync it. Right,
it syncs through the internet. And
yeah, we're getting that in iOS 5. No syncing.
Ah, okay. That would make me want to get an iPhone, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, because, you know, to transfer
because that's sort of what I've been waiting for. I mean, I hated the fact that you had to sync things.
Yeah. But, you know, to be fair, I don't have to sync my calendar and I don't have to sync my contacts because those use Google. So I just make a change on Google or whatever, and that's automatically in my contacts and whatnot as well.
Oh, that's fine then. Well, I mean, that is kind of the only thing that I sync as it is, and everything else just is drag and drop once you're plugged in. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, we're talking about mobile phones. We need to get Brian on this for something about this at some point or another. But
if we actually did it. I would quite like to Brian about mobile phones. He sounds pretty clued up.
Yeah, yeah. That might be something to do, I think, one day.
Yeah, one day.
Well, he wrote an article about it that's going out on Informer. I didn't read it yet, but that will be out soon-ish. Mm. But Windows Phone.
When I'm feeling rich.
Yeah, don't buy an iPhone.
I'll try not to. This is the iPhone owner. Yeah.
One thing that about the Windows Phone operating system that's nice is the tiled form of Metro style interface. You know, that's kind of like Windows 8. So I think it's nice, but it's just the thing as we were saying. It's Mac or Windows, and for me, it's Mac. So, but I don't know. I am glad that they are giving them IE9 in this phone because I know on our forum style, people using Windows Phone, the one person I think it was, did have problems in the current version of Internet Explorer on there. So that should fix the issues with that.
That's a good point, really, if they are using Trident or whatever it is still as the rendering engine.
Yeah, yeah, they're getting full IE9, so that'll be good.
To you. Oh, yeah, IE9 does quite well. You know what I discovered
the
other
day?
Yeah, it is. IE9, here I was thinking that it was quite on par with the rest of the browsers these days. IE9 does not render text shadows. Like, what?
Really?
Text shadows?
Really?
That should be a standard CSS.
Yeah, that's CSS3. Yeah, should. Oh, well. I still recommend IE9 as a second browser.
It does box shadows, but not text shadows. Anyway, yeah, that was all. Sorry.
Yeah, we're bouncing everywhere on this all, but suffice to say, Mango, RTM, out this phone.
Came a long way.
Enjoy your Windows phone. So, Google wants you to stage Gmail interventions for people who aren't on Gmail.
That is funny, to be honest. I didn't think they would sink that low. But it doesn't... Oh, at the same time, it doesn't surprise me that much.
But it makes perfect sense, because if you get somebody on Gmail, you get someone on Google+.
Yeah. They
right?
pretty much integrate themselves.
So, they got this video about this, about how you can do this, and they even got a website that you can go to, enter your Gmail thing, and it'll find people who aren't at gmail.com on your list, and it will send them emails and give them a link to an application that will import their old emails, import their contacts, and set it up so it's a painless transition. So,
sounds very good.
Yeah, it is, and... You know, one of my things that I want to do is everybody in our house uses the ISP email, SHA. And, you know, that's really not ideal because if we ever change ISPs, there goes the email accounts.
Yeah, that's right. That was the same thing. It still is the same thing with my family. We're so reliant on the ISP email that we actually, when we switched ISPs, we kept our old email addresses. So we're still paying our old ISP in order to keep those.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things I'm going to do, since I like Gmail and the Google stuff so much, is I'm actually going to set up a custom domain, because you know you can use the Gmail thing and do that. I'm actually going to set up a custom domain for us, so we're all using Gmail and everything like that. So, but
when you do that, you tell me how it works, because I think that would be fantastic. And of course, I've got christensen.co.nz.
Lucky.
Work quite nicely.
Lucky. Mm. My last name.ca is taken.
That's a pity.
So, basically, they want you to get these people on Gmail, and they mention that, you know, this gives you a Google account with access to everything else. So, I don't know. Would you go as far as sending somebody anything like this, or?
I'm actually quite tempted. I probably wouldn't when it comes down to it. Mainly because I'm too lazy to. That's really my only reason. I hate forwarding anything, really, you know, sending things to people, typing in emails and blah.
Yeah, it's not nice etiquette. I prefer not to do
I don't really agree with the etiquette either, but I do agree with switching to Gmail, so...
it's just so simple, the Gmail
and it
experience
surprises me that
from
people,
everything.
You know, people still use Hotmail, and I can't understand why.
Well, to be fair, it did get a bit of an upgrade over the past few years since Gmail came out. It's not as icky as it used to be, but Gmail is still fastest in my view and whatnot. So, I don't know. The thing I do is I have my Airbnb accounts, I have my multiple school email addresses, I have my ISP address, and I just forward them all to my Gmail address and then reply from that. So. Anyway, so basically, if you're not on Gmail, get on Gmail is what Google wants you to do, and they even have a email intervention thing. This email intervention thing. So if you want to be annoying and get your friends over, you can do that. Quite frankly, I only remember doing this in 2004 when Gmail first came out. Or 2005, or whenever
it was.
That's
right, yeah.
I'd send an email to someone. Have you got Gmail yet? Want an invite? Here you go.
Oh, good times. I still remember, you know, receiving an invite and everything. I was so excited to be a part of Gmail.
I was hoping that same thing would happen with Google Plus.
Well, it sort of did. I think just the fact that, you know, everyone knows about it. There's so much exposure right now with Google Plus.
Yeah, well, you got to start using it.
I don't really need to. No, I'm not cutting the cord. Google did a really impressive job of hyping it up. Very nice marketing strategy.
Like, have you at least used it a bit?
I haven't. No, not really.
Oh, okay. It's really nice once you start using it, the granular control per message. Like, yes, you can do that on Facebook, but
I don't know,
it just feels nicer because it's from Google. Anyways, emailintervention.com is the domain you go to for this.
Very nice.
So, anyways, moving on to something a little bit more geeky, I guess you could say. Linux kernel 3.0.
Woo! Doesn't really.
And, you know, mean that much, it doesn't really mean that much. It's just a change in the version number because it was going to be 2.6.39.
Yeah. Did you read Linus's actual response to why it was bumped up?
Yeah, didn't he say it was because he couldn't count past 40?
Something like that, yes. I thought that was a fantastic reason also. 3.0 is just so much cleaner. You know, when you boot
up
your
computer and it makes it sound new, doesn't it?
Massive numbers with several different decimal points doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's a lot more friendly, really, especially to.
I started using Linux back on 2.4.
Oh, nice!
But basically what the kernel is it's the basics of the OS that runs every Linux distribution from Fedora all the way to Ubuntu and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So you probably don't care about it as much as we do, but it's just signaling that, yeah, we want to move Linux forward to make it more modern. So that's good. Google is now rolling out their fiber in two Kansas cities. This is based on what was mentioned way back when about Google spreading out their fiber optic network. So, you know, it's good that Google's taking the lead on this and that they're actually going to roll this out to a few cities in Kansas. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine how that would be? Having access to such a fast network and being the only ones and having that courtesy of Google?
I would feel pretty privileged. I can't even imagine what, you know, fast internet really feels like at the moment. So, you know. the very fact that it was Google, you know, on top of the fact that my internet was super fast and unlike anything else on the planet.
And, you know, the thing to remember with this is that Google also has to put their own infrastructure in because the fiber optic internet requires new infrastructure. So they'll have to lay all the cabling and whatnot. So, you know, I think if Google wanted to, or if they had the resources, they could build a network like this across the entire U.S. and maybe even eventually other countries as well. Which would be good because, you know...
I'd love to be owned by Google, really. Served by
Google. I think Google would have their own, like, you know, the Google philosophy of Gmail, minimalism, do no evil, lightweight, trustworthy kind of thing. I think that's the same kind of thing they would apply to their internet as well. Yeah. Like, just look what Chrome did for the browser space. They would do the same for the internet space. Mm-hmm. So. Maybe it's time to move to Kansas. Or maybe not. I don't quite like the... I wouldn't move to the U.S., but that's okay.
No. Tempting as it is.
I'll get my internet elsewhere.
Yep. I'm happy.
Anyways, I think that's it for tech news.
Mm-hmm. Other things...
Skill of the month.
Ooh, I should probably actually look at that.
It's actually an interesting graph. It's not as flat as it was 2 weeks ago.
Agility.
Or even at the beginning of the month. Yes, agility. Tim is in second place. I'm mentioning him first only because he was yapping at me tonight about it. So, but in first place is Sexy Ketchup, still with 3.1 million XP, who has just recently started getting experience once again. Tim, second place, 2.89 million XP, and our Kiwi friend Sorensen57 is in third place with 669k, so it's safe to say that it's a two-person race at this point.
Nice work, though. It is
yep.
Sort of almost anyone's competition at the moment, since there are a few days left. Well,
yeah,
when I say
anyone, when it comes down
between the top two.
And when it comes down to it, anybody can know life, and, you know, it's okay to know life for a few days to win a skill in competition.
Yeah, pretty sure Tim has justified that time and time again, so I'm expecting great things.
I just need to make him play more StarCraft, then he'll do less agility. Mm. So that's the skill of the month update. You know, I'm betting that it's going to just continue on it as it is, and Sexy Ketchup will pull ahead with a marginal win over Tim.
That's where it's going at the moment.
And if you're listening to this before August 1st, it's worth saying that the August skill of the month is Dungeoneering. So if you're at all interested in that, you can sign up and train some Dungeoneering in August.
God forbid.
Alrighty. Yes, Dungeoneering is something I still don't have good feelings about, but that's okay.
No. Well, that is good. I mean, our stances haven't changed since it really was released.
Yeah, so.
You know exactly.
Clan Citadels are better than Dungeoneering.
Gotta make up our minds. Okay, so this one.
Pick time.
Pick time. Despite the fact that it says Shane,
well, this
Chief's
is.
Pick, I mean, you're really. The one to decide.
Well, you said it was going to be a conjoined pick, so I figured I'd
put
both
yes,
down.
Yeah, I know, but. I'll let you take it.
Yeah, we kind of got to limit this here. We're leaving the majority of people out in the cold on this one because it is a it's macOS 10 Lion, which, as we all know, is for Macs only. So if you're a Windows user, terribly sorry, because Lion is a good operating system. So let's just say that I quite enjoy Lion. It's a very nice operating system. I actually ended up writing this month's Informer article on Lion. I didn't intend to do that initially, but Lion made me realize where OS X is going. That, plus the iPhone, getting one of those, also made me realize a few things, and it all just became clear for a while, and then it's become more fuzzy again about how everything fits together. But basically, to sum up OS X Lion, we all know how it felt going from Windows Vista to Windows 7. You got operating system refinements in terms of software and the UI, as we all know, right?
Hold on a second, but yes, you can keep talking.
Okay. Software refinements in terms of basically what's going on in the operating system and the interface. Windows 7 also became lighter when that from Windows Vista. This is, in a way, what Lion does as well. It boots faster, and it just feels more snappy than Snow Leopard did, which is a good thing. And it does what it initially intended to do of merging or bringing, I guess, the features from iOS to OS X. So if you've used an iPad or an iPod or an iPhone, you know what I'm talking about. It just feels more natural, just in the same way that using an iPhone feels natural. So,
finished?
I wasn't sure if you were listening or not.
No, I wasn't. I literally just got back and I.
Oh, okay. Did you get the part about it feeling more natural?
Yes, I got the end of that last sentence. Yes.
Yeah. So, as you were saying, you're playing with an iPhone, right? And it just feels. Describe it.
Responsive. I mean, sorry. Okay. The only
responsive, sort of, easy to use, and whatnot, right?
Technical, yeah. I mean, natural. I didn't want to repeat the word, but that's. I mean, you just.
And that's exactly what OS X Lion does. Is it makes it feel more human, more tuned up. In relation to what we've been become used to using an iPod or an iPhone. So, and that's a good thing.
I saw that
so
it had something
no
like
reason...
natural scrolling.
Yeah, that's another that thing. You know,
like just reverse normal scrolling.
Which, it makes sense from a software point of view, because previously you'd move the, you'd move the viewport, right? But now you're actually pushing the content up or pulling it down, which makes sense. But you got to ask, is that really something you want to do because you've been using a computer for a long time and you've always scrolled the other way? So is that something you can train your mind to do differently?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I was thinking it sounds ridiculous, but...
you can turn it off.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. They actually offer you an option. I didn't expect that.
Well, yeah, the first screen when you install Lion you get is Lion uses natural scrolling. Scroll this text box. And then when you scroll down, there's a button that says start using OS X Lion. So you need to learn how to scroll again before you can use the operating system. So,
wow.
But,
that's
you know,
strange,
anybody
actually.
Who... Because, yeah, I mean, it is. That's the only
it's
questionable.
Kind of a hard technology.
Yeah,
you know, it's not a soft
and it's the only part of Lion that
be able to use.
Yeah, it's the only part of Lion that does not make sense out of the box.
Yeah.
Like, this should have been left out. Like, we know how to do that on an iPhone or an iPad, but everybody's been using a computer with a mouse scroll wheel forever, and this is completely opposite. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense to do it that way. I'm using it because it makes sense to me, but...
Oh. Oh,
you know, you I am. So.
Oh, well, I mean, if they give you the option, that's... You can't really go too far wrong.
Yeah, and you know, other things in the operating system, like full-screen applications, for example. You use a full-screen application if you're on a laptop. That makes perfect sense. But if you have dual monitors, you don't want to be using full-screen applications because your other screen becomes totally useless.
Yeah.
And I remember really, do you want to see your mail client in a 1920 by 1080 window when you could be doing other stuff behind it at the same time? I don't think so. So full-screen applications only make sense if you're limited in screen space, like on a laptop or something. But that's just a minor thing. I'm sure that'll be fixed in time about that. But, you know, it's just a nice upgrade. It's like the Vista to 7 upgrade. Back-end largely stayed the same, just received user interface refinements. And, you know, Finder's nicer, too, the way they sort files and stuff. So... definitely, if you're a Mac user, this is $29 you do want to spend. It's well worth the upgrade.
Yep. And I'm going to be doing the upgrade this weekend / tomorrow. So, just because I have not yet used it, but I am excited based on what I have seen.
Yeah, and hence why it is partially be interesting for you because... You are primarily a Linux user.
Yes. And, I mean, this will also be my first upgrade on a Mac. And it will be interesting to see how that experience goes.
That's something that they actually improved with this one. It's actually a whole lot more seamless than the Leopard, just no Leopard upgrade. Like, it's just done. Everything works right out of the box. I mean, software, everything's all there. You don't need to think about anything. So.
To be honest, I'm pretty glad it's not as difficult as Windows, because if it were Windows, I would want to be fully reinstalling it. I would never trust a Windows upgrade.
I always, for previous OS X upgrades, did a clean install, and that's because of my Windows roots.
Yeah.
But this time I just did the upgrade and it was fine.
Yeah.
So... Nice operating system. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I go into more of the philosophical kind of thing about it, about where this is coming, and I go into a few features I think are important for Lion in my article, so you'll definitely want to take a read through that at informer.rsbnb.com. And I had fun writing that article.
I bet you did. Okay.
And, you know, it's like, you come back from this, and it's like, I don't think I could use Linux. I don't think I could use Windows.
Oh, that's good.
Day-to-day operating system. So,
that you are happy.
Anyways, achievements of the week. We got a whole selection of them, because we got 2 weeks, because last week's show was pre-recorded, so we didn't do achievements. So starting today, most recent on the 25th, 1965 Mustang got 99 fishing. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. Arony got 99 crafting, also on July 25th. Congratulations.
Ish Bin Andy, 99 fire making on the 25th.
I don't know, I can't pronounce German.
Yeah, I don't know, that was just a guess.
Yeah. Little Asher with a 3 for an E got 99 fletching on July 25th. Why July 25th? What's so good about July 25th?
I don't know.
Congratulations.
Bonsai 99 Magic on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Then Aged Chaotic got 99 Magic also on July 16th. And
Arane again with 99 fishing on the 15th.
And Bonsai again. Wow. Oh, Bonsai got 99 attack also. July the 15th. Congratulations, everyone.
Yeah, so we had
everyone.
These stacking up because we had the 2 weeks, so congratulations to you all. We're back to the regular schedule now, so not to worry. Alrighty. So a good amount of happy people here with their 99s, so congratulations to you all. We look forward to seeing more names next week. Alrighty. Sure, so the question is now, what have we been doing? You should this go first. Time, you probably got the more interesting story.
I don't know. I'll go first because what I did was longer ago. It's been a while, actually, hasn't it? When was the last time I was on a show?
The week
was
it was
before I went away. Yeah.
Yes.
Was it while I was at home or
before that? Because
yeah. Oh yeah. So anyway,
because we wanted to do because we did birthday week together. Remember we did birthday week?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so I went home. Yes, mid-semester break for me. Hooray, first ever mid-semester break. So I had 3 weeks off after my exams. So for the first week, I went home. And then for the remaining 2 weeks of my break, I went to France with my dad, just my dad and I, because my mum does not like flying and my brother was not very interested. So... so I did French all through high school, so it was just natural, you know. I really wanted to go to France, even though I'm not that fast on traveling. So my first time ever out of New Zealand,
on some big planes too.
Consisted of about 25, 26 hours of flying just to get to France, not including the waiting time. So, yeah, we had 6 hours in Hong Kong, you know, and then a few more hours in Frankfurt as we were going over there. So for me, that was pretty amazing. Having never been outside New Zealand, and I got to visit, you know, the Hong Kong airport and see a little bit of Frankfurt. I mean, it's really just amazing to be able to see other countries with my own eyes. It's like, wow, we're not alone in the world. The world is not a conspiracy or anything. It's not just a big matrix. So yeah, that was cool. And yeah, we actually stayed only for a couple of nights in Paris to begin with, Dad and I, and then we went down to Toulouse and stayed with some family friends there for a week and explored lots and lots of different places around Toulouse. We hired a car, and so we got to see heaps of stuff, which I think was fantastic. If your perception of France is basically of Paris, then, which, I mean, most people do believe, and even I, you know, sort of, you know, when you think of France, I just think of Paris. But having been to Toulouse, I've completely changed my mind now. It's a very, very different place down there and in the surrounding areas. Well, yeah.
Can I tell you what I thought of France before you left?
What did you think, Shane?
Well, you know, Paris, as you say, yes. Like, you know, there's the French Alps, the rolling countrysides, the vineyards, all the history, Napoleon... World War One, World War Two, landings at Normandy, Maginot Line, everything like that. It's a place I'd like to go to.
That's good. See, that's impressive. I honestly don't know many other people who would think like that. I think... And I was talking to my friend here who has also been to Paris and France, and he was saying exactly the same thing. You know, if you just go to Paris... And if you've never been to France before,
yeah, it's
then,
a typical tourist know, thing, isn't it?
You will generally only think about Paris. It's just how it works.
Yeah.
I suppose it's the same for many countries, really. But it's pretty eye-opening to think about something like that. It's, yeah, very deep. So, anyway, we got to see all the usual sights as well in Paris, even though we just had a couple of days. So we went, yeah, then to Toulouse, and then we came back again to Paris for 2 days. And then yeah, all the way back to New Zealand again. And I came straight back and flew into Auckland the day before my university started again. So, yeah, flew into Auckland, drove down back to Hamilton, and the next day started classes.
How is the jet lag coming back?
Yeah, I was not terribly jet lagged to begin with, but then it sort of hit me, and I think halfway through the week, I went to bed at 7 o'clock one night and woke up at... Oh, I can't remember. Might have been 7 o'clock the following morning. Yeah, or 6 or something. Something weird. Something very, very weird for me, considering, yeah, last night I went to bed at 3.
Okay. That scares me.
I'm slowly getting...
I have trouble just going one time zone back for a week, let alone 12.
Yeah, no, it's yeah. So it's pretty weird, having never done it before.
Did you enjoy the plane rides?
I enjoyed the plane rides back a lot better than the ones there. I think probably knowing what to expect helped a lot, even I didn't really get a lot of sleep on any of them. But again, also better coming back, and yeah. It wasn't too bad, yeah. I think actually another strange thing about being in France in the summer, their summer, our winter, is that, for me at least, the sun sets at 10 o'clock. And whereas, you know, coming from winter in New Zealand where the sun was set at about half past 5, it makes the days really long. But you adjust to them and everything. The weird thing about it was that being with my dad, we would go to bed before the sun would set. And, you know, it's complete opposite to, you know, what it would be like in New Zealand.
Yeah. What time does it set in the summer in New Zealand?
In the summer, about 8:30, I think.
That's early.
Latest.
This summer you experienced in France is like our sunset here, like 10:30.
Well, yeah.
Still light out.
For me, completely different for me, but normal for other people. It's new experience.
That's the one thing I love about summer here is just the 18-hour long days.
Maybe. Well, yeah.
But
I don't anyways, know, it was quite so, cool. I don't know if you get sick of it after a while, but I didn't.
It's worth it when the sun goes down at 4:30 in the afternoon in winter and doesn't rise until 9 a.m.
Hmm.
So.
But that's basically been me. I also, offhand. Just in the past week or so, upgraded my computer. I stuck in a new hard drive and replaced the power supply, so it no longer buzzes annoyingly at me. Hooray! But yes, and if you haven't heard me typing or anything, then that's the product of my new keyboard also.
Once you get a quiet computer, quiet keyboard, like, it's impossible to go back to using noisy hardware.
It so is, I agree. I splashed out a bit, like, but it was very worth it.
Yeah, like that's the thing. I keep my Windows computer asleep except for when I'm actually using it to do something because it's so loud. But anyway, so anything else you want to share about classes or anything since you got back?
Nah, it's still pretty boring stuff. Straightforward.
Boring
Your
to
turn.
Most people, but probably. Yes.
Oh, no, I mean, you know, speaking I love of, it, but
Yeah, but boring to other people. Interesting to you and me. I mean, how fun is writing code and learning about how the best way to do something in a object-based programming language?
I actually do love what I'm doing right now. I love everything.
Yeah, see? That's good.
Not what I wouldn't have said that before. That's good. I'm a very happy person in general. Not going to lie.
That's good.
Now your turn. Tell us about your time.
All right, so you've... last week, we did a special episode on bots because I was gone for the week. I was doing lots of interesting things there. I'm going to start with probably... Well, let's just skip over the first 2 days, because the first day was just basically a flying day, and then next day was a driving day into the U.S., and U.S. experience was just okay. Sorry to all you Americans out there, but your country was not nice to me in general. But the day after that, speaking of planes, actually, as you know, as Brad knows here, I took a great interest in what routes and what kind of planes he was taking going to France, and that's for a good reason.
Creep.
No, it's something I enjoy doing. Yeah, seriously. One of the things I did while I was gone was I went to the Boeing Center in Everett, Washington, in the U.S., looked at their little museum thing there, got to stand next to a 747 tail fin and a 777 engine, which I showed you the picture of the engine and the tail fin just to show how massive they are, and I think you gathered that after flying on both of those planes and your
yes,
journey.
Yes, no, you do start to take notice of things like that. Yeah.
It's like, oh my, that's pretty high. But aside from that, witnessed the planes being built and Air China taking delivery of a new 777, so that was a nice little excursion. I really did enjoy that, so that goes to my interest in planes and whatnot, why I was so interested in what you were flying on, because, you know, there's a saying they have there, if it ain't Boeing, you're not going.
Actually, another thing, while we're on the topic of planes, just one more thing I have to mention. As far as airlines go, if you ever get the chance to... Well, just, you know, if anyone's ever thinking of coming to New Zealand or something like that, fly Air New Zealand. Best airline ever.
I've heard
Air New Zealand and Lufthansa.
Good things about them.
But they are really, really welcoming, I have to say. I really love them in comparison. You know, Lufthansa, the German airline, is a very, you know, flash, modern one. But Air New Zealand has about twice as many staff, and they're just so much more friendly. It was like, you know, after hopping back on that plane with New Zealand
people. It sounds like WestJet here in Canada.
Mm. You know you're at home when someone comes up to you and says, "Want a drink, bro?" It's just... it's lovely.
Okay.
Really.
Yeah, and I take it you didn't get to use an executive first class suite on the plane?
No, not quite so lucky, no.
That's unfortunate. As you know, I don't think I could manage 12 hours in a cramped little seat like that.
No, it's challenging, but I also don't think I could manage paying double for the upgraded version, so... Happy.
Yes. Unless you want to fork over $400-some-odd million dollars for a new 747. That's the price of them that I learned. So that's a bit out of my price range.
Slightly. One day, maybe.
But you could go for a 737. That's only $56 million.
Oh, okay. Reasonable.
So that was it. That was the highlight of my trip to the U.S., I have lots of other things there, too, that's really weird. really don't deserve to be mentioned on the show because of how absurd they were. So we'll just skip that part, then back to Canada. Nobody got exactly all my Shane's cryptic clue fest clues right. I'm sorry. Nobody really was able to figure that out. I mean, they just did not figure them out. I can go through them here maybe, but there's only five of them, I think. So let's see. Let's pull these up here. I know the first one was, let's see. Number one, blue plus green, gone west. That one was supposed to be a, that was supposed to be a WestJet tail fin flying west.
Okay.
Then the next day was a trip to the U.S. with icy water to the north, south, east, and west. I'm on a boat. Then the next one was the Boeing day, vroom vroom in the air, i.e. all the planes around. Then the next one was back to Canada. The boundary is a peaceful arch, which is the Peace Arch border crossing in White Rock, B.C. and Blaine, Washington. Mm-hmm. Next up, the center of government and knowledge illuminates. Now we're going to talk about this one here. Actually, I'm going to play something here. It's kind of windy, but I'm going to play it right now, actually.
Ooh, exciting.
Alrighty, everybody. We're here now with the person you know as King Kala Live in the Flesh. This is one of the interesting things I was doing last week.
Hi, guys. It's me, King Kula, otherwise known as Patrick.
Yes, Patrick. And we are happy to say that the first known RSBNB meetup has been carried out. And it's something we hope that more of you guys will be able to do down the line, and I hope to be a part of a few more too. You have anything you want to say about today?
Well, it's been lots of fun meeting up with Shane. I know what he looks like.
That's one of the few people online that do. Actually, the only one. So, that's the benefits you get of meeting up with me in person. And did I live up to your expectations?
I think so. Yeah, you're pretty much the same in person as you are online, which is quite interesting.
Well, there you have it, everybody. I'm the same in person as I am online, which is always good. You don't like fake people online. So I'm sure we'll be hearing from you probably next week or one of the upcoming shows. So.
Yeah, and it'll be lots of fun. And enjoy the show, guys. And believe me, this is real. I know it is real, yes. Believe me, I shall confirm it myself next time on the show.
Thanks, everyone. As you can hear, it was a very windy day.
As to the authenticity, obviously.
Yeah, so I met up with him there, and it was a great experience. It was probably the highlight of my trip for me. And he said it was the highlight of his month, so there you go. So we really did enjoy ourselves. We spent probably about 6 or 7 hours together, museum, out to dinner, and just hung around. So it was really great, and it's just I don't know if anybody's done it, but it's just really a surreal feeling meeting somebody that you've met from online, let alone from something I've helped create, you know, and something where he had to come in, and then we have just built this up over the past however many years. So we just really enjoyed ourselves, and you know, it's just and you know, you talk to someone online so much, and it just becomes as if you're just picking things up from where you were before. There's nothing weird about it. Like, it didn't feel awkward or anything. It was just as if two people just met up and we just started talking like we normally do. So
yeah,
we really did enjoy ourselves. And, you know, we do hope there's going to be a few more of those down the road one day. Ain't that right? Far away.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Far, far away, but...
One day I'll make it there. One day you'll make it here somehow.
So much to love about it.
Yeah. Volcanoes?
Volcanoes, of course, yes.
Okay. I come there to see those.
Super volcanoes, in fact.
Yeah, that is a bit unsettling, but I don't think they do that for quite some time, though.
No.
So that was pretty much my trip, but I got back on late Sunday, and then I've just been catching up on things I've had to do since then. So one other thing I should note about the trip is I managed to get myself sunburned probably the first time in many years that I was actually able to burn myself.
Good work.
Yeah, my arm's actually still kind of red, just to give you an idea.
Good work. See, I hardly even burned myself at all in France. So.
Yeah, well, you see, I don't know what it was. It just happened. It doesn't normally happen like that, so. Anyways, if anybody has any questions about meeting King Kola, send me a PM or send him a PM. It did happen. It did happen. We didn't make this up or anything. We didn't add wind in. Like, it was an authentic meetup. And I think you can tell by all the people you hear in the background, too, right? Like, this was just outside, and I just pulled out my phone and started recording.
I don't know. I'm still unconvinced. No, I'm kidding. That's quite authentic.
Yeah, but that's pretty much been me, so. And apologies to anybody. Apparently last week I forgot to remove a section in the middle of the show in which we were talking about which questions to edit out due to time. So if you're wondering about that, that's okay, because before I left there was something. I'm missing something with this show. But no harm done. So sorry about that for last week, but I'm sure this week's will go just fine. So I think we're done then. I don't have anything else I need to talk about, really. Do you?
No, that's good. Quite finished.
Alrighty then. Thank you, Mr. Chief Snake, for this good show, and I'll be back next week with another regular show, episode 320. See you all then. Goodbye.